Okay, good evening. Good to have everyone. Good to have everyone here tonight. We know the supreme value, of course, of Torah learning that we say every day in as part of Birkos HaTorah. So we say Elo Dvarim She'ein Lahem Shiur HaPeyah VaBikurim VeHareyon Milus Pasadim VeTalmud Torah. So Talmud Torah has no shiur. And then at the end of the next saying, we conclude Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, that there's many different things that that we benefit from both in this world and the next world. And we list a whole bunch of things that are masim tovim, good things to do. And Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, learning Torah is equivalent to all of them. So Torah learning is certainly of a supreme value in the Jewish tradition. Pirkei Avos, in addition to being sort of a guidepost for how we're supposed to act as people, really places an emphasis on what it means to be somebody who's committed to Torah. So the idea that learning Torah is important is not something that needs to be, justified or explained, in great detail. There's a pasuk that we say twice a day. That's part of Shema. We're supposed to teach Torah to the next generation. We're supposed to speak words of Torah, whether we're at home or whether we're on a journey, when we go to sleep, and when we awake in the morning. Okay, that's a pasuk that we are all familiar with. So just from here alone, if I were to ask somebody, should you learn Torah if you are traveling? Of course we're supposed to learn Torah when we're traveling, right? I think the B'shiptach HaBeitecha perhaps is not so much of a fetish, but even when we're traveling doesn't mean that we're totally detached from Torah. If anything, we're supposed to continue on with it. We see an interesting halacha that comes out, a particular pasuk in Parshat Vayigash. After Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, and they're a little bit taken aback, and Yosef says, don't worry. And he wants to, of course, make sure that the word gets to his father. In fact, the brothers are then instructed to go back to Eretz Canaan to let Yaakov known to bring him down to Mitzrayim where Yosef is. That's where there's a lot of food. He's going to be protected there. He's going to live the rest of his life in a sort of tranquil fashion down in Mitzrayim. So he sends them off. So Veshalach et Achav Vayelechu, and he sent off his brothers and they went. And before they go out the door, he says, by the way, Al Tirgizu Badar, don't become agitated on the way. Lehi Gargez is become annoyed, to be agitated, maybe rage would be a strong word. But when I think of, of being like Margiz, there's some element of, of arguing, one sibling agitates another sibling. And that's the kind of language, even in modern Hebrew, that we would use. So what does this mean, Al Tirgizu Badarach? Like, what are they going to become agitated about? What are they going to argue about? What are they going to bicker about? So Rashi gives three different ideas, not his own inventions. Chazal had these as well. But these are the three interpretations he brought. And I'm actually going to start with the third one and go backwards. So one of the possible concerns, Lefish Pshuto Shel Mikra, you want to understand the very simple meaning of the pasuk. That they were ashamed based on everything that transpired. Maybe Yosef had sort of slipped their minds a little bit. They weren't thinking about him every day. But nowadays, they have to face him having done what they did to him. Maybe they'll start arguing on the way back. Aldvar mechirato, about their selling. They're going to start pointing fingers and say, it's your fault. You did it. You started it. Atasi parta lashon hara Allah v'garamta lanu alasinato. You started saying lashon hara about him. You know, you were the first one to pipe up and say, you know, who does he think he is with all these dreams and his coat? And you brought it up and you said lashon hara, and this, you know, led from one thing to another, led for us to hate him and led for us to sell him. So maybe Yosef was concerned that they would start. I read last week's drasha about sort of the trust that Yosef instills by Dafka, waiting to reveal his identity to them. But nonetheless, there's still, you know, throughout the next couple parshas, there's still a little bit of tension about, you know, is there really true forgiveness? Did we do the, you know, was this, you know, really horrible thing that we did? Which it was, but it was Abidei Shamayim. That's one understanding of this pasuk. Just go home, get Abba, bring him down, but don't get involved, and don't start getting angry at each other, because what happened is that it could maybe at worst probably lead to violence. At best, maybe it delays them, causing a rift that causes them to split off. So you don't want to get into these discussions as you're traveling. It could be dangerous all around. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it, davar acher al tafsi upsia gasa vechnisu choma leir. So, you know, don't take large steps, long steps. The Gemara says that's something that's a little bit dangerous when you're traveling. So telling them not to go too fast. Maybe they think that, you know, we have to get to our father, let him know what happened, bring him down. We need to do it quickly. In fact, Yosef instructed his brothers to do it quickly, maharu. But don't take too big of a step. Okay, so this is something that's brought in the Gemara, but relevant for what I want to deal with tonight. One interpretation brought by the Gemara that Rashi brings here is al tirgaz badarach. What does that mean? Al titasku badvar halacha shelo tirgaz alecha madarach. Don't get too involved in a matter of halakha so that the trip won't become a matter of agitation. Okay, so I'm not getting sort of into the whole issue of to what extent Abba's kept the Torah or not, but if you get involved in a whole discussion of halakha, you start to, you're in the middle of a discussion of Gemara and you're splitting hairs, you're going to get too caught up in that discussion. And if anybody who's walked into a base medrash in yeshiva knows that the atmosphere in there sometimes is, you know, people get really into it and you're having these debates and these discussions, these machlokot l'shem shamayim, hopefully for the sake of heaven, you're having discussions and debates and arguments. And people get very animated, and they might even yell in the middle of the discussion. And Yosef saying to his brothers, you know, don't get involved with any of this. You gotta make it home. So don't get too involved in halacha. Don't become involved in this. So what's the danger of becoming this involved, this agitated about a matter of halacha? A couple of different ways to look at it. Siftei Chachamim brings, I think, what would be the simplest way to understand this. And this is, he actually brings this based on what Rashi says in the Gemara that we're going to see in a few minutes. But he says, Perush, im atem oskim bedvar halacha, tzrichim atem ayin bo yosef, ein datchem ala derech. If you're going to start discussing halacha, you're going to start discussing Torah, and you get really into it, and you're having a very deep discussion, and you're getting into the minutia, so then you're not going to watch where you're going. You're not going to be paying attention to what's going on. We talk toas kamaderach klomar titu. You're going to get lost. You're going to go down the wrong road. You're not going to be paying attention. That's going to be very problematic. Okay. So we can relate to this. People who drive can relate to this. That certainly, you know, can very quickly, if you're not paying attention at every single moment, you could find yourself veering in the wrong direction, you might miss your turn or whatever. But even with them walking, with that kind of travel, I'm still concerned that they're going to get lost, they're not going to pay attention, and they won't make it back. So that's, I think, maybe the most shot understanding of this Rashi. But the Kli Yarker actually brings a very interesting interpretation. So you're not going to be focused. So Kli Yarker is saying it's not, the concern is not that you're going to make a mistake in your traveling because you're involved in the halacha, but it's the opposite. You're going to be you're really supposed to be focusing on the road, but then you're not going to give your full attention to Torah, which is Dvar Hashem, it's very Elohim, to divine matters, and you're going to make a mistake, and you're going to make errors in the way you are explaining and understanding Torah. Okay, so these are two different approaches to what it means that Atzikizu Baderech means that you shouldn't get involved in the halacha. Why is that? Either because you're going to make a mistake in your traveling, or you're going to make a mistake in your Torah. Somebody shared with me, a colleague shared with me today, that once his wife was working with a personal trainer, and they were doing some exercises, and she was saying to the trainer, maybe I could do Daf Yomi while I'm doing this. I don't know if it's listening to Daf Yomi Shir, or if she'd be able to look at look at the Gemara while she's doing these exercises. And the trainer said back, you're not going to do either that. You're going to do neither the Daf Yomi nor the exercises well, right? So when we have split focus, when we have split screens, when we have distractions, it can be difficult to do either, right? And you're shortchanging both of them. On the one hand, you're going to make a mistake and you're traveling and not keeping an eye on the road. Maybe, I don't know back then if that posed any mortal danger. Today, we can certainly imagine that if somebody's not paying close attention to what they're doing on the road, that can be mortal danger. But on the other hand, it's also problematic for the Torah itself. And the Perisha, Devik Tov, says that in fact, learning is supposed to be a serious enterprise. We're supposed to do it with the utmost seriousness. If you're going to learn, sit and learn, do it properly. But if you're not going to, if you're not able to do that, then don't get involved, because then you're not, then you're shortchanging the learning. You're not giving it the proper focus. Learning Torah is supposed to be an experience of Har Sinai. You're not going to give the Torah what it deserves. Fine. So far, Altergizu Badarach, we've interpreted to means that don't get involved in matters of halacha because it can bring all sorts of problems. However, Bereshis Rabba brings actually the opposite understanding of what Altergizu Badarach means. Bereshis Rabba says that Altamidu Asbecha Midivrei Torah. And if anything, don't desist from Divrei Torah. You should be discussing Torah. So these two contradictory interpretations of what we're supposed to do. Are we supposed to learn Torah? Are we not supposed to learn Torah? In the Hadar Skenim, the commentary of the Balei HaTosfot, one of them says, don't prevent yourselves from learning. Just you're traveling. Okay, so what? So talk on the way. Take advantage of the opportunity to have these discussions instead of discussing the weather. And if we go back to Rashi's Shad interpretation, I'm actually just thought about this on the spot. But in fact, maybe Yosef's saying, instead of discussing everything that happened, with selling me and coming down to Egypt and going back and Binyamin and Shimon, and this whole episode of the strange episode of your encounter with me, don't talk about that. Don't rehash the past. We're talking about Torah. So that's supposed to be what Bereshis Rabba and the Hadar Skenim understanding Pasuk this way. That's how they understand it. And there's Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says, Reb Shimon Omer Hamahalif Baderech Bashonet. Somebody who's on a journey, they're traveling Bashonet and they're learning Torah. Umasik Mishato, and they stop learning. Omer Manaya Ilanze. Somebody's you're in the middle of having discussion, discussing a Gemara, discussing halacha on the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, and you see a nice tree. You say, "Well, what a beautiful tree!" Mana ilanze. Such a person perhaps is liable for mortality. So it seems like from this Mishnah that if anything, you're supposed to be learning Torah, right? It could be that, you know, maybe once you're learning Torah, so you're not supposed to stop, but it doesn't mean you have to learn Torah. But this Mishnah is obviously assuming that people who are traveling can be learning. And Rashi, in fact, in this Mishnah explains, you know, what's this harsh punishment? So he says, "Klomar mistakim benamsho." It's not that, you know, it's a punishment, but you're just putting yourself in danger. Somebody's learning Torah, Satan can't do anything to them. But once you get involved in things that are just sort of small talk, things that are, you know, nothing wrong with talking about them, but not necessarily of intrinsic value, not certainly of divine religious value. So then Satan has an in. Satan can say, you know, look, they're not Torah, this is the right moment for me to strike. So you know, on the one hand, it sounds like, according to Rashi, that Yosef was instructing his brothers not to learn Torah while traveling. On the other hand, we seem to have some proofs that, in fact, one should be learning Torah. One shouldn't stop learning Torah. We learn Torah while we're traveling. So how do we square this? How do we square this? So the Gemara and Tanis, in fact, brings up a similar contradiction. Don't get involved in a matter of halacha. Don't become occupied with halacha. Because then maybe you'll have a problem. You'll get lost. You'll veer off. You'll end up in a bad place. Then the Gemara says, "Any, is this so?" Bahama Rabbi Eli Bar Brachia. Didn't Rabbi Eli say, two Torah scholars are on a path. They're traveling. They ain't been ahead of Torah, and they haven't learned Torah. They are worthy of death, of being burned. So, Rabbi brings a proof of it. So lo kasha. So really, there's no contradiction here. Ha le migras. When is it that you're allowed to learn Torah, that you should learn Torah? That's Migras, which Sparia, based on the Steinsaltz translation, translates as studying by rote, right? Just maybe, you know, we'll see this come up later in the postgame, but maybe the idea of like reciting Mishnayos, maybe going over Tzukim, but just a very sort of cursory, just, you know, reviewing what you already know. But when is it that you're not supposed to learn Torah while you're traveling? To learn halacha in depth, to learn it carefully. So this Gemara brings us a little bit of a resolution that when we're traveling, so very basic level, and that doesn't, that basic level of learning that doesn't require a lot of concentration, that we're allowed to do while traveling. But if you're going to get into Iyun, and you're going to start examining very carefully and get very caught up in this discussion to the point where you're not paying attention to anything around you, that you're just, your mind's totally in Torah. And sometimes people, you know, they praise, you know, sometimes we praise people who, you know, are so not involved in the mundane aspects of the world that because their head is totally in Torah and they're in touch with the Kodesh Baruch on that level. But that's not for traveling. That's not what you're supposed to do while traveling. So Marasha says on this Gemara, so why is it that somebody should learn Iyun? Sha'alide Iyun b'Torah kinemasik tavo lit os v'tisak fu b'derech, you're going to get lost. V'Yosef miher halichatam, and Yosef told them to go quickly. See if I can pull out the pasuk towards the beginning of Perek Mem He. He says, "Maharu v'alu alavi, go quickly and tell my father that that you know that his son is alive, and in fact he's royalty in Egypt." So maybe, based on this understanding of the Marsha of the Gemara, maybe Maybe this isn't instructive actually in general of learning while traveling. Maybe this was specific because Yosef gave them a particular mission, and there's no time to waste. Yaakov is getting a little bit older, and there's no time to waste. Go very quickly, bring him down. There's an anxiety to get past this chapter. So maybe, you know, based on this, it's not necessarily instructive, as a halakhic matter, general halakhic guidance for every time that somebody is traveling. But maybe this was particular to this situation. Okay, Rabbeinu Gershom on this Gemara says, you know, what's the problem with the fact that they're going to argue, that the brothers might argue, and they're going to get in a heated debate if they start discussing matters of Torah? What's going to happen? You're going to get in a very heated discussion, get very passionate. There's going to be sparks flying, and you guys know that it's l'shem shemayim, and that you're just, you know, that it's nothing personal, but you're just having a passionate debate. But what about the onlookers, the people who are passing by? They're going to think that you guys are at war with each other, and then things are going to deteriorate. Right, and this is what Avadi Bar Tanur says. Also, don't get to the point where you're going to start having arguments, because then kach yirguzu aleichem over drachim. That the onlookers are going to start getting involved with you, and they're going to start taking sides, and they're going to trying to break up whatever it's going on. So these perishim also might point to the possibility that the problem with learning Torah while traveling was specific to what the onlookers. So there are a couple of practical implications for how we understand this Rashi versus Rabbeinu Gershom. If we go according to Rashi. And this is brought by the Divrei Shalom. Let's just say somebody is traveling alone in a wagon, in a cart. So if they're alone, are they allowed to learn Torah? So according to Rabbeinu Gershom, they might be allowed to learn Torah, because the concern is the actual argument and what other people are going to see and what's going on in the moment of the deep debates and discussion that's happening between the people who are traveling. But if you're traveling alone, so you're not screaming at yourself, you're not going to get involved in that. So maybe there's no problem with learning Torah in that instance. But if you do have other people in the car with you, maybe for Rabbeinu Gershom, it's forbidden because then you're going to start having these debates. But maybe if the other people aren't navigating, so they're allowed to learn Torah. The other people who aren't navigating a lot of the Torah, but maybe for the driver, it would still be problematic. Before going any further, just another couple of pirushim on this pasuk that not necessarily tied exactly to this particular development of the halakhic issues, but I just thought that they were nice points to mention, and then I'll get to the real halakha on the maaseh about this and what we can learn from it. So the Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar says that iyun nikra dvar halacha, that learning in depth is learning halacha. Kol haTorah nikra derech. The whole all of Torah is compared to a journey. Moshe Na'amar, Ashrei Tmimei Derech Ahalkin B'Torah Hashem. Fortunate are those who walk on the on the path of purity, who walk according to the Torah Hashem. What does it mean to walk? It's going from place to place. This is what we find when it comes to Torah, because somebody who learns Torah, so they go from one step to another step, from knowledge to understanding, and from bina to deeper insight and wisdom and understanding. So what he's saying is that Torah itself is compared to a journey. That when we learn Torah, we're constantly being transformed from one level to another. And it's always going in an upward trajectory. So I think he brings this down on this pasuk. Al tirguz baderach, not supposed to learn halacha, but Torah itself is a journey. And I think that's something that's a beautiful insight for us to keep in mind. The Riva, one of the Baalei Tosfos, says something interesting, also not entirely related to this particular question about learning Torah on a journey, but he says, you know, what does it mean, Al tirguz baderach? Don't become agitated while traveling. Al tirguz bedivrei halacha klomar, al tirguz bedvar mechirati. Don't get involved in, you know, about my being sold. We brought up some of the problems that might come up with that, but what he says here is interesting. Halacha misina, because my being sold is as if it's a halacha from Har Sinai, right? Something that God willed and it was a divine mandate. The gia hasha'a, shamar Hashem la Avraham Avinu yadu atinaki ger gia zaracha be'aretz Elohim. Hashem already told Avraham Avinu that his descendants are going to be strangers in Eretz Mitzrayim. So this is the time that came. You're selling me was a fulfillment of God's will. And it seems like Yosef really does take that approach. But that's why he's saying he's not concerned that they're going to get agitated in the sense that they're going to be, like what Rashid said earlier, that they're going to get agitated about whose fault it is. Or about real halachic issues, but just don't get so bogged down in what happened, because this is what Hashem willed, and it's as if it's halacha misinai. So don't start examining what's going on, except that it was Hashem's will. And those are just a couple of interpretations I wanted to insert here. But if we get to halacha lemaisa, is one allowed to learn while traveling? We saw some indications that maybe it was, there were particular reasons why it was important for Yosef's brothers to go very quickly and to not do anything that would get them lost. But how does this get applied halachically? So Shulchan Aruch actually doesn't mention anything for what it's worth. But the Achronim do bring this up. They're aware of obviously the Pasuk of Rashi, the Gemara. So they bring it up. So the Magen Avraham says, V'yasok b'tor b'derech, one should learn Torah while traveling. V'alo e'ayin b'halacha, one shouldn't get involved in a detailed discussion of halacha. Yomei ate l'atrude, maybe you'll get bogged down, you'll get distracted, and that would be problematic. V'efshar debi yoshev b'agala, isha kerman higasusim shari afil iyu. But perhaps what's different if somebody's in a wagon and they're being driven by somebody else, but then you're not concerned. This is like Rashi. There's no concern that you're going to get distracted, that you're going to cause some problems, that you're going to get lost. So therefore there's no issue, and it's possible that you're allowed to learn. Shulchan Aruch HaRav of the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he says, Ukshehu b'derech yasok b'tzor, you should also eat Torah. And then he says something similar. Don't get too involved in a detailed analytic discussion of halacha. So this sounds very similar to what the Magen Avraham says, but it doesn't say the efshar that it would be allowed, right? It's possible to be allowed, but he says definitively that that's absolutely permissible to learn Torah if you're a passenger in a wagon and somebody else is driving the horses. The Aruch HaShulchan uses even stronger language. He says, "Umitzvah lasot b'tor b'derech." One should learn Torah, but he says, don't get too involved in analysis unless you're sitting in a wagon. Fine. And the Piskei Tshuvot, which is sort of a it brings contemporary understandings to the halacha based on going in order of Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah agrees with everything that's been said so far. So Piskei Tshuva brings the Shla, the Shnei Luchot HaBrit, Rabbi Isaiah Horowitz, who wrote, Chiyuv gadol alam ha'alach b'derech sh'yasuk b'torah b'derech. Not only are you, is it possible they are allowed to, that's a mitzvah, but it's a great obligation to do so. When you're traveling, you should place Torah before you. Those who are pious, those who are really involved in mitzvot. So what should they do? She is shagur b'fihim ezem asechtam yatamu the mishnayos ba'alpeh. You should know either a whole tractate of Gemara by heart or a number of mishnayos. Mishan names up alech tacham baderech. She in svarim b'yadam l'lam b'tochem. So let's say you're traveling without your books. What are you going to do? You can twiddle your thumbs a little bit. So they should know mishnayos by heart and or even whole masechtas of Talmud by heart. So that way they can learn those. They could just, review and recite it. Even just to think about Torah in your head is a good thing. So this raises interesting questions. What's the bottom line? Can you learn while traveling? Again, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even mention it. So it might make a difference, if one is driving or not, if one's actually, the driver or not. So if you're driving, obviously, you have to be careful not to look at any particular text. But even so, like sometimes, when somebody's pulling up a shear on their phone or their or whatever it is, so that can bring distractions. Distracted driving comes with a host of problems. Don't need to outline that. One has to be careful about that. And the anecdote I mentioned about doing working out while doing Daf Yomi, I think is still applicable here, that maybe there is a concern that on the one hand, if you're so engaged in what you're hearing, what you're learning, then maybe you're not fully focused on the road and that's the problem. But on the other hand, maybe if you really are truly focused, maybe that means that you're not really focusing and learning the Torah. So one could argue that maybe that's not the right time to be doing that, but there doesn't necessarily seem to be clear lines here. So it seems very definitively that if one's learning something very basic, things that we already know, sort of reinforcing things that we already know, not learning anything too heavy. It's a Torah podcast and it's sort of light conversation, but not anything too intensive. Too involved, so then not only can one, but maybe one should. It's a good idea to be able to learn Torah in that regard. When I commute, so I also I hadn't really thought about this prior to this week, but the truth is I wouldn't necessarily if it's a kind of thing where I would want to take notes. I'm not going to listen to it while I'm driving, because then I, can't take the notes. So, what's the point? Really isn't necessarily the time that I can really give my full concentration, but sometimes things that are just lighter talks, but still sort of, involve Torah. So those definitely make me feel like when I'm, driving to Manhattan every day, it makes me feel like I'm spending my time well. Listen to other things that are not necessarily Torah as well, but it's nice to be able to do that. On the other hand, though, let's say somebody's not driving. Okay, you're a passenger in the car, or better yet, you're on an airplane, you're on a subway, you're on the LIRR. So definitely, it seems like Poskim would definitely agree that one can and should take some time to learn Torah. Notwithstanding that, so this is where maybe, for example, if you're on the subway, maybe that's where, this is where, Rabbeinu Gershom becomes relevant, that if two people are sort of learning together and having Gemara covers and they start going at each other and knocking down each other's point of views, so if it gets really loud, so it might disturb other passengers and, the onlookers might be thinking what's going on. That's definitely something to think about. But if you're sitting by yourself and you're learning a sefer, or you're listening to a shiur on your phone. So, what a wonderful thing! Of course, we should learn Torah while we're traveling. You can take a halicha reshus. You can take, a journey or a trip that's something for personal purposes. But then you can transform it into something that's infused with a mitzvah. It's something that, you know, I actually love on airplanes when you're, I don't even know if they're changing the rules on this. I have a feeling at some point or another, they're going to change the rule on this, but at least it used to be, it's been a while since I've been on an airplane. But it used to be at the very least that you weren't, certainly weren't allowed to use your cell phones, and not even allowed to use any other electronic devices. I think maybe the electronic devices, maybe they're letting up on that a little bit. But that was something I actually kind of appreciated, because that was, you know, there's nothing else to do besides crossword puzzles, books, but it's a good time to pull something out. So, you know, of course, you know, when people are traveling, you know, whether it's on commute or it's on like a late flight home, some people might be tired, might not be the best time to spend a lot of time learning. But, you know, how beautiful it would be even just to take, you know, 15 minutes of that time and just, you know, listen to one short shir, to, you know, one, you know, learn, you know, one aliyah of the parsha, whatever it is, that can be a beautiful thing. I think the idea of Lech Lecha v'Derech is that God isn't just with us in Shul, our home, but even when we're traveling, even when we're in a vulnerable situation, even when we're sort of, you know, in this place, we're neither here nor there, God is with us in his path. That could be the beautiful thing about learning Torah. Okay, thanks, everyone.